Hello.
Oh my God, you guys, it's Ethnically Ambiguous.
Episode 70? We're so old.
Uh-huh, I'm Anna.
I'm Shoreen.
Oh my God.
And today we're talking all about
food!
Jesus fucking Christ. We're very hungry.
We're talking about goddamn food!
Food. Thanksgiving was last week, so we're going to tell you all about Persian and Arab food. So yum! Gobble, gobble? I regret this.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Are you gonna start? Keep all this in.
I'm starting.
We're starting. And we're starting on Ethnically Ambiguous, episode 70! 70. What?
Oh, jeez, sorry, there's some weird
big D.
On my mic.
Big. No. What rhymes with 70? 70.
Heaven D.
70, we're going to heaven D. Yeah, we're episode fucking 70? That's a lot.
And I should probably tell you, I quit!
We are recording this on the 21st, so that means tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Right. So by the time you listen to this, you guys have already had your turkey day. As we all know, it's the day that Native Americans welcomed white people and forgot about the genocide, and they just had corn and turkey together. You know?
Kern.
Have you seen, is that from SNL?
No, I don't know.
Oh, there's a funny skit about Kern. But yeah, we're recording this the day before Thanksgiving. I hope you guys had good, yummy foods and were with your fam or your chosen fam. I'll get into this more when I have my spiel, but Thanksgiving is it's an interesting holiday for in my household. I think you would relate to that too, right?
Yeah, you know. Joking. It's like my dad really likes to cook, so it's his like chance to.
I love that your dad does the cooking.
Yeah, well, my mom cooks a little too. I mean, my mom cooks, but my dad loves it, and I think my mom is just kind of doing it to feed us.
I just think like having a Middle Eastern father that loves to cook is such a rarity.
Yeah, because most fathers are useless. But So it's like my dad likes to cook, so it's like his chance to cook different things, and my mom always makes the casserole, and she likes to make like the candied yams with the marshmallows up top.
Ooh, that's a white thing.
You know, they like take the opportunity to make all these dishes they would never normally make. Like, they make the traditional Thanksgiving meal because they're like, oh, well, this is just something we should do because it's Thanksgiving and we want to, like,
interesting. My mom didn't really like explore that until later. Like, we growing up, we always had turkey, but it was always like with hummus and pita bread and fattoush, which is like a different kind of salad, or it was just an Arabified Thanksgiving. But then later we discovered what stuffing was, and we were like, oh, this is good, and so we started incorporating stuffing into our stuff. But we always had mashed potatoes and corn too, but it was we never really went outside the box.
This is killing me. I'm so hungry right
now. Oh, really?
I didn't have lunch.
Wait, why are we talking about food in this episode?
I'm fucked up, man. I'm so fucked up, Shereen, man.
Before we really get into Thanksgiving stuff, I do want to say that Anna and I are trying a new format as far as guest episodes go, and we're going to release them as bonus episodes. So this Wednesday, if you're listening to this on Monday, we're dropping our first of these. It's with Charlene de Guzman. God, I said it wrong on the recording. It's with Charlene de Guzman. And she's an actor and a writer, and she made the film Unlovable. And I talked to her all about her career and her upbringing. It's really interesting, especially if you guys are interested in filmmaking or sex and love addiction. We talk all about that as well. So that's going to be dropped on Monday or Wednesday. So we're going to probably have like our regular episodes still on Mondays, and then these bonus episodes will be on Wednesdays just for more content for y'all. So be sure that you're subscribing if you're listening to this on a different kind of platform, or just like stay tuned for Wednesday because it's a really good episode. And I'm looking forward for both of us to talk to people more intimately one-on-one, because I think it's a cool way for you guys to know about our guests, but also still have your regular EA content, you know?
And get us more downloads, you know?
Okay, well, I don't want to make it that obvious.
Like, this is a business, you guys.
Yeah.
We're only here to...
Speaking of...
Business.
Speaking of, are you guys buying merch? Buy our merch.
Our merch is probably... Today is supposed to be Cyber Monday. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what that means. I guess it just means online websicles are...
Sales. Yeah. So go buy some sales.
Online websicles are sales. So I feel like that's the clearest way I could say it.
Yeah, that's the most clear way. But yeah, we also just released a new design thanks to Miles. He inspired this new design. It looks like those like plastic, those white plastic bags that say like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, have a nice day. But instead it says ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah.
And it still so
says like ethnically, mm-hmm. ethnically, ambiguous, ambiguous, mm-hmm. ambiguous, have a nice day or something like that.
It's great.
It's cool, you know, get it on a tote.
Yeah, tote.
Get it on a tote, take it to the farmer.
The farmer.
Farmer's market.
I would say Farmar in LA because we always said Farmar in Davis. No, but in Davis we called it Farmar, but no one really calls it that here.
No. And you say Farmer's Market.
Yeah, but like it's shorter and less syllables. Farmar. It sounds like you are crazy. Farmar. 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 Anna?
I just start crying uncontrollably for no reason.
Wait, hold on. I just noticed what you're wearing. You're wearing a shirt that says the future is female ejaculation. Where the fuck did you get that?
None of your business. I ejaculated it.
It's the future. 3D printer.
Do you like it?
It's fucking amazing, yeah.
Okay.
I love it. I just read it for the first time.
Play your cards
right now.
And I might ejaculate one for you.
Oh, great. Is your vagina just like a 3D printer?
Yeah. My vagina has a 3D printer in it, and it's like a T-Public of sorts. It's Vajay-Public.
Oh, that's great.
T-Vajay. Wait, how do I do it? Vagina tees?
No,
Vag tees. Squeeze
cooch
a tea. Cooch tea.
Cooch tea.
Squeeze me for a cooch tea.
Oh, God.
Every time you shake my hand...
Yeah, a shirt pops on.
A shirt is screen printed.
It's like, why did a shirt just fall to the ground? You're like, don't worry about it.
That's for you. Yeah. That's my parting gift for Oh, those are just the screen printing liquids.
The ink, you know, the ink.
Yeah, this is the chemicals.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Non-toxic.
I feel like this is a really funny thing. I got Shereen a very early Christmas gift.
Yeah. Should we open it?
Yeah, hey, it's not for audio format, but there's a funny...
Well, can you also explain to me, because you haven't told me, but like, why'd you get me this?
Because it's your Christmas gift.
But it's not even Thanksgiving yet.
I know, but there was a sale.
Should I open it? I'm going to open it.
What do you mean? I don't know why I got it for you.
Okay, so I'm going to describe it.
It was on sale, and I knew it was on sale, and I was like, well, shit, I'm just going to buy it. But then I'm not very good at holding on to gifts. I have to give them to people right away.
This is actually very true. The second Anna has anything for me, she texts me.
Yeah, no, I get
every
very excited.
Time.
I'm like,
every
I got you
time.
Something.
She's like, I got you something.
I can't stop myself.
Even when she's in fucking Iran, she's like, I got you something.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, thank you.
I got you something in Portugal and then lost it in America. And we're still looking for, if anyone knows where the slingshot I got Shereen in Portugal is.
R.I.P. that slingshot.
I think it's in my car somewhere.
That's what you keep saying.
I know.
But we looked a billion times.
We'll find you.
So I'm going to describe this because it's a podcast and there's no visual component. Maybe I'll hold it up for the photo. Who knows? Anna's gift is a brown paper bag.
That's what I got you.
And it says Shereen gift on it in Sharpie. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to make it really cheesy because I didn't have a card.
Also, Anna is very good at gift giving. I'm not really good at it. Like, I don't really, unless I see something and it reminds me of you, I usually don't get gifts for people. So maybe that's my bad. I hope you don't feel like it's a personal offense because it's not. I just, I'm bad at it. And you're too good. I can't compete.
You haven't gifted me in years. I don't know. I'm just joking. Who cares? Open it.
Okay, so it's a green paper mache. It has tape on it. I'm opening it.
Call that paper mache.
What is this?
Tissue paper.
Tissue paper. Sorry.
Tissue paper.
Tissue paper.
I think I paper macheed a gift right now.
Oh my God. Wait. Are you fucking kidding me?
You beat Inception!
Wait, this is not planned.
I planned it. I'm crazy.
shit. It's the exact shirt that you're wearing.
I knew, and I knew you would like it, so I wanted to mind fuck you and then give it to you as a gift.
Oh my god. It's the literally the same shirt that I just complimented
you
on.
Yeah, isn't that insane?
I'm a fucking dummy.
That's why I asked you if you liked it.
I do. Oh my god,
guys,
thank you.
This is the level of mind tricky I'll go because my life is so boring. This is like what I need. I work 24/7. My overtime is out of control. And I these are the things I do.
I'm so amazed that I just saw your shirt like literally 2 minutes ago for the first time. And now it's in my hand.
And the thing is, I've been wearing this shirt every day for 3 weeks. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding.
My face just like was very confused. This is amazing.
I'm glad you
like it. I have two shirts like this now that are like a play on this phrase. The first one was from that MoMA thing I did in New York. I have a white one that says the future of film is female. And now I have the future is female ejaculation. This is a fucking perfect pair.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Thank you, Anna.
It'll shrink a little.
Thank you so much, Anna.
I know it looks big, but it's the small.
It's not big.
It's the smallest small I could get.
No, I tuck this into my pants. I look great. Thank you. That was so strange. We truly did not plan this. This is
true.
This podcast is not scripted, y'all.
I got her, man. I got her. I was like, I'm going to wear the same shirt and see if she even likes it.
You're
because
like,
I had a fear that you were going to be like, ew.
What?
And then I'd be like, oh, God.
Like, I know I'm not familiar with what that feels like, but still, I'm not ew about it. I'm very for it.
I know. I just thought it was funny. They have ones that just say the future is female, but like, I
oh,
don't
no,
know.
This is a huge upgrade.
Yeah.
This
like,
is a huge
that
upgrade.
One's better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so basic. This is not basic.
Yeah.
One day I'll wear this and I'm going to wear it, but one day I will wear it and also understand it.
Mm. Honey.
For all y'all that have heard me guess in other podcasts, you know what I'm talking about.
Someone's Shen Shireen like a wild, like, vibrator.
No. Sorry, Baba. That was wild. My mind is like kind of fucked. You're low key a genius.
I know.
That was crazy.
I fucking know. I've been inceptioning you all day.
That was,
and you had
I
no
wanna
idea.
Know. I feel like now that I'm looking back on this experience, I wish I could rewind and like maybe like you were pointing at your shirt, be like, look at this shirt. Like
how was it?
Some type of subliminal message being like, did you see this? Did you see this?
No.
But really? Not...
I was playing it as cool as possible.
That was very cool.
It's so funny to me.
I'm so amazed.
That's so funny. You're like, oh, cool shirt.
And I was like, oh, wait, hold
you
on.
Like
I paused
it?
Everything. Didn't you rewind this? I was literally like, hold on. Look at this shirt. That's literally what happened.
Guys, I have fun.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you for this gift.
The show's over.
We'll wear it on our picture.
Yeah.
We'll put it on our picture.
That was the plan. I was like, I was going to make you wear it on
nice.
The photo because I thought that'd be funny.
So if you guys have already seen the photo probably from our Instagram, from our fucking post for this episode, you probably already know this, but now you know the story behind it, and that's even better.
And you guys can get your own shirts like them because they sell them at otherwild.com, which is like a clothing store. There's a shop in LA. So I got an email yesterday that said they were all on sale.
Nice.
For like Black Friday. And I was like, oh, fuck. Then I should just go swoop.
Oh, so you knew that this shirt was there.
Yeah, oh no, I knew about these shirts for a while. I have the future is female in a tank top.
Oh, nice.
From like back in the day when I got it. I knew this one was out too. And I knew I wanted to get you this one too. Or this one was for you.
Yeah.
And then there was just like my size. I was like, fuck, I'm going to pick it up too.
Nice.
And then I'm just going to like mind fuck you.
I'm 100% mind fucked. I still can't believe that like, is there a God?
It's
like,
me.
Did God like
God is
tell
female
me to comment
ejaculation.
On your shirt? Oh my god, maybe there is a god. I don't know. No, just there's no
Guys,
god, there's just Anna.
You're welcome, Shireen's parents. I had a breakthrough with her.
You're welcome, Shireen's parents. She's going to wear a shirt about female orgasms.
Yeah. I was like, maybe I shouldn't give it to her before Thanksgiving week, before
I'll
she
just
goes home.
I'm going down to San Diego tonight. I'm going to wear this.
Okay.
And I'll let you know what happens.
I'm sorry, Baba. That's to your Baba.
Thank you. Sorry, Baba. Times two.
Yeah.
Should we
do the show?
I'm going to be like... shook for the majority of this episode because I cannot get over this, but let's get into Thanksgiving food or our version of Thanksgiving foods.
So I mean, like, one thing I was gonna kind of go over because I'm hungry is different Iranian cuisine.
Yeah.
Cuisine.
And then I'll talk about my own spin on that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe you guys have tried Iranian food. A few of you have tweeted me. And a lot of like Iranian food, it's like rice and kebab and kebab and stew and like soup and a lot of meat and so
I kind of want to give a little overview, some of my favorite dishes, and a little history of Iranian cuisine.
I cannot wait.
So, so Persians are like basically Iran's main one native ethnic group. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like the culture and the food, it like historically has interacted with a bunch of different regions in the area, including like Turkish and Greek and like Asian and Russian. And through like this Persianized Central Asian Mughal dynasty, aspects of Iranian cuisine are also adopted into Indian and Pakistani culture. So like main dishes, it's a combination of rice with meat, vegetables and nuts, and herbs, spices are used a lot, along with fruits such as plums, pomegranates, quince, prunes, apricots, raisins, and a lot of the spices are like saffron, dried lime, and cinnamon, and turmeric, and parsley, and a lot of those are mixed into like the stews and the rice. Okay, I'm going to go over few of the top dog rice styles of Iranian cuisine.
Cuisine. That's how you say it, right? Cuisine.
Cuisine.
You have to always put your shoulders up when you say it.
Cuisine.
Cuisine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when you squeeze me and I print a t-shirt out of my purse and I'm a cuisine. So,
I mean, this shirt that I'm holding right now came out of your vagina.
I printed that with my pussy.
It is wet. Sopping.
Sophie looks at me. Printing chemicals.
Sorry. Sophie looked at me concerned. Sorry.
Queasy.
Taking this joke too far. Keep going.
So, sorry, I'm drinking,
Diet Coke. I was like, will she say it? Should I say it?
Queasy.
There's a few different types of rice. There's one that's the polo, there's the cello, the kate, and the dami. So the cello, it's plain rice that's served with an accompaniment. Jesus Christ. A companion.
You listen to this podcast because we're great at English.
What is that? You say that word?
Accompaniment.
Accompaniment.
I'm saying it wrong now, too. Accompaniment. This podcast is a joke.
Wow, you guys. You are really paying good money for this. Okay. It's accompanied by a stew or a kebab. And polo is a type of rice that's mixed with something. So they're both cooked in the same way. You know, the rice is prepared, whatever, salted, water, boiled, blah, blah, blah. And then the cello, it's drained and returned to the pot to be steamed. And in this case, you can add, you can do, like, a golden crust underneath, like, the bottom of the rice, which is called tadik, which is, like, that crusty, it looks like burnt rice, but it's just, like, crispy. It's fabulous.
We have it in Arabic food, too. It's called... what the fuck? My mom's obsessed with it. She, like, will purposely cook the rice that way to get the
burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can also actually put, what is that bread called? Holy shit. Like a tortilla under there and create a tadik out of the tortilla. Like, it burns that tortilla and turns into, like, a little, like, a top hat. It's not a top hat, just a hat. And you can also use sliced potatoes and put a bunch of sliced potatoes on the bottom, and that burns the edges of the sliced potato and makes these crispy sliced potatoes. And that's like one of my favorites.
That's
so
delicious.
Good.
Delicious.
And so sometimes they actually take the tadik off and serve it plain, like on the side as like another like meal option. So meat, vegetables, nuts, fruit are sometimes added in with the cello and then steamed. So kate, which is rice that is cooked until all the water is absorbed, and that's just more of a traditional dish of the Gilan province, which lies among the Caspian Sea. It's like their style of rice. I don't eat that as much at home. I mean, we have before, but it's not as common in my home, in my own personal home. In my own personal pussy. Just joking. Okay.
Oh my God.
So, dami, which is rice that's cooked almost kind of the same as the kate rice, which is, you know, all the water is absorbed. And the ingredients can be completely cooked with the rice, such as grains and beans are added. And yeah, so like it's kept for a very long time, constantly slow burning on the stove. Like, and that kind of also helps produce the tadik. There's a special form of dami is called tachin, which is a mixture of yogurt, chicken or lamb and rice plus saffron and egg yolks. So it's like this combo of a bunch of stuff inside of it. So that's like different, you know, types of rice. You know, there's let me just go over the types of rice. Like there's sabzi polo, which is rice with chopped herbs, normally served with fish. Mm-hmm. There's lubia polo, which is rice with green beans and minced meat. There's abalu polo, which is rice with sour cherries and slices of chicken or red meat. There's morasa polo, which is like rice jeweled with barberries, raisins, carrots, orange peel, and almonds. You can really put whatever the fuck you want in polo. There's shireen polo.
Shireen! I'm cooked with rice!
Yes, so it's rice with sweet carrots, raisins, and almonds.
Because shireen means sweet.
Mm-hmm. And so stupid. And then there's adas polo, which is rice with lentils, raisins, and dates. Bakala polo, it's just like fava beans and dill weed with the rice. It's mm-hmm. somewhat similar to sabzi polo. And then there's there was tachin, which is what I said earlier, which is the rice. It's basically a rice cake with the yogurt, egg, and chicken fillet. It's like literally everything is cooked into it. Mm-hmm. It's like a pie almost of rice.
Nice.
It's actually very good. It's one of my favorite things. My parents don't make it very often because they think it's very fatty and they're all like health conscious. But when I go to Iran, that's like the first fucking thing I put on my plate. I'm a bitch. I'm a rice bitch.
You like stare at your mom and dad as you put it on your plate too. Yeah. It's like, see what you're mm-hmm. depriving me of?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then there's also dampotak, which I'm dampotak. That's weird to say. Which is turmeric rice with lima beans. So those are, of course, there's like hundreds of other types mm-hmm. of rice things. Like you can do like kotlet, which is, that's not rice, but it's like a fried ground beef, mashed potato, onion. But like when it falls apart, I don't know. There is kuku, which is whipped eggs folded with herbs and potatoes. These are just like, I don't know what, they're not even remotely, there's no rice in them, but they remind me of rice for some mm-hmm. reason. Yeah, so then another big thing in Iranian food is bread. So there's a bunch of types of bread. There's lavash, which is probably the most heard of in America, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like thin, flaky, that comes round or whatever. You can get it flattened, squares.
Wait, so you guys don't use pita bread?
No, not really. I mean, you can, but not as much.
Right.
We use lavash. There's sangak, which is like plain rectangular mm-hmm. like flatbread that is stone baked, and that's the coolest because they literally put it on a bunch of stones and that's what makes all the textures in it.
Ooh.
yeah and then there's taftun, which is thin, soft, it's round, it's like flatbread. It's just a little bit thicker than lavash. Then there's tanur bread. Tanur is my fucking favorite. It's bread that's baked in an oven. It's a tanur, which is like a giant stone, and they put the bread on the stone.
Is that the one that gets bubbly?
It can, yeah. Yeah. It can bubble up. But I feel like it goes down some, you know, whatever. It's like, oh God, I should post. I have videos of all this bread being made. I should post. Because from like Iran, when I would go, we'd wake up in the early mornings, we'd go watch the guys make bread.
The smell of baked bread is, yeah. I want to live in that.
Yeah. I went to,
I want to live in a bread oven.
Sangak, like bakery, and I also went to a tanur bakery.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, then this is my all-time favorite bread, which is badabadi. Badabadi is the shit.
Do you remember eating with me at this like West Hollywood place? The only reason I remember this so vividly is because we have a video of me and you're saying dip the thing in the badabadi or something.
Yeah,
do you remember
this? Right. The badabadi in the Fessenjoon or something like that? Yeah. That was at Flame in Westwood.
Yeah.
That's the best. Highly recommend Flame Iranian food restaurant in Westwood.
I'm going to try to find that video and I'll post it somewhere.
Yeah, so badabadi is my favorite. It's my favorite to have. It's like my breakfast bread, which I have with like that. And I have like nuna paneer basically means bread and cheese. And you have like feta cheese with it and you have walnuts with it. Mm-hmm. And you can add a little jam on the side if you'd like.
And it's amazing. It's like all you need for breakfast. It's also known as Tabrizi bread because it's like referring to the city of Tabriz. It's eaten more, I think, in northern Iran.
Nilo Tabrizi?
Yes, like Nilo Tabrizi. It's thick and kind of like an oval flatbread. Yeah, and so on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break and I will come back and talk a little bit more about more food. And we're back! And we are hungry as fuck.
Yeah, we were just talking about how we're getting so hungry.
Fucking falling apart. So I'm going to really quickly go over the different types of kebab, because if you've ever been to a Persian restaurant, you have been offered kebab. I love kebab. I don't eat it as much anymore because it's very heavy, and I'm not huge on like intense, heavy kebab meat. But you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go home and eat some.
Yeah.
So there's kebab kubide, which is barbecued ground beef or lamb, and it's mixed with like parsley and onion. You get the deal. That's the most common one you see, kebab kubide.
Kubide is the same thing as, for us, for Arabs, it's a kefta kebab.
It's like the, it's just squishy.
It's the one that's ground up.
Yeah.
The one, not the chunks of meat. It's more when it's like ground beef and then it's done.
Yeah, and then it's like molded on a stick.
Exactly. Your kebab kubide is our kebab kefta.
Sorry, I'm so hungry. And then there's juje kebab, which is like grilled chunks of chicken. That's actually, it's one of the most common dishes in Iran, but maybe it's actually pretty common in America too. It's like where they have chicken basically being kebab, and they can put like chicken and then a tomato and then like another vegetable, and like an onion and then a piece of chicken. Yeah. You know? So it's like that kind of style of kebab. And then there is kebab torsh, which is like another traditional kebab from the Gilan province, which is marinated in a paste of crushed walnuts, pomegranate juice, and olive oil. That's not as common in my home. In my home, we mostly eat kebab kubide and juje kebab, just like what my dad makes. And then this is something that my dad actually never makes. I don't know why, but I've had it before in like restaurants, which is shashlik, which is a very popular form of shish kebab, which I think is actually, I keep saying everything's the most known, but I think this is actually the most known. It comes in like giant chunks of meat instead of like molded out like the kubide.
It's not ground.
Yeah, it's not ground. Yeah, and so there's other forms of kebab, but they don't matter. One kebab that you might know is kebab barg, which is barbecued and marinated lamb, chicken, or beef. So it's closer looking to kubide, but it's more in the style of shish kebab. I know you guys are all really, you're just like hanging on by, like, just like, oh my God, tell us more. You know what? I will. So a big thing that we eat in Iran is stew, or as we call it in Farsi, horesh. It is basically all we eat, and that stew consists of herbs, fruits, and meat for the most part. You can also make it meatless. Like a lot, everything here is completely vegetarian can be made vegetarian except for the kebabs.
Yeah. And also last episode when we were talking about tomato paste, a lot of your stews are tomato based. Like
all the bases for the most part, tomato paste.
So a lot of the stews are like red in tone and have like vegetables and stuff, but the base of the stew is red sauce, like tomato
red
sauce.
Tomato paste. Yeah. Tomato paste, saffron, and pomegranate juice is for the most part most of the bases. Also, there's another type of non-horesh type of stew, and it's called dizi. It's basically like a stew. It's not as thick as the normal stews. So this dizi, you soak bread in it. You don't put it over rice like most of the other stews. This one, you soak bread in it, and then like let the bread soak up the stew, and then eat the bread.
Interesting.
Like soup style.
Huh.
It's called dizi.
I'm dizzy just thinking about
it. But see, like in Farsi, we call it abgusht. It literally means water meat.
Interesting.
Abgusht.
The bread is water meat.
Or meat juice.
Yeah. I don't like that. Let's not talk. Let's not
talk. It's delicious. It's very weird. Isn't it weird? It's dizzy is so funny to me. Persians were all fucking animals. Anyway. So there's bademjoon, which is horesh bademjoon, which is eggplant stew with tomato and saffron. And so the all upcoming stews that I'm going to talk about, you eat over rice. Horesh fesenjoon. Now this shit, fesenjoon, maybe you've heard this. Fesenjoon is my fucking shit. I love fesenjoon. It's a stew that's flavored with like pomegranate or ground walnuts. It's amazing. You put chunks of meat in it. This shit
is so lit. I fucking love it. I'm all about pheasantjun. Like, I'm psycho about pheasantjun.
Yeah. I've had it with you. It's fucking amazing.
It's good. It's like a, it's the flavoring. It's like unlike anything. I can put my face in it right now.
Yeah.
I need to make me a keto pheasantjun. Yeah. Just kidding. I'm going to eat that shit all up. And then there's horeshikeme, which is stew with split peas, dried lime, and get this, French fries. Because Iranians put French fries in shit. It's so random because we eat potatoes. So we like cut up potatoes and they basically just are French fries. It's random, but honey.
Dude, fries are delicious.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
There's korma sabzi, which is Iran's national dish. It's probably the most famous. It's like that green stew with herbs such as leek, cilantro, and it's probably the most recognizable. I think people order korma sabzi a lot. There's also kufte, which is like basically, it's Azerbaijani. It's basically from my father's region. It's like a meatball stew.
Okay.
So it's like a stew with the meatballs. And you don't necessarily have to eat the stew. Like, the stew is to keep the meatballs moist. And you basically just eat the meatballs. And the meatballs will have, like, walnuts in them. They'll have egg in them. It's just like a rice meatball. It's so fucking good. My dad makes some of the best. Best! Oh! So good! Kufte in town. He's famous for his kufte. That's literally him talking about himself. Because he would.
I heard your dad in there. Yeah, yeah.
He would literally tell you that he's famous for his kufte. Because that's my dad. There's also horesh alu, which is like prunes and meat that have been like cooked together and sat and simmered for years. I'm trying to go over the top ones, I think. And then another big thing is everyone before a meal, they give you soup. They insist you have soup before your meal, which in my opinion.
What kind of soup?
There's a bunch. There's like chicken and noodle soup, soup au morgue. There's barley soup.
Are you guys big on lentil soup? Because we are.
Yes. Yeah. Lentil soup. It's called adasi. It's lentil adas. Soup.
Adas is what lentils are in Arabic. Adas.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
A lot of crossover, isn't there?
Yeah. Except for our rice as it is, and yours is polo.
There's also grain and yogurt soup called tahin. I honestly am not a fan of eating soup before my meal. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just have soup as a meal. But it's like so many different, like they're like, okay, first you have your soup, then you have your rice and your stew.
It's not just one entree.
Yeah. It's exhausting. I'm not a huge fan of soup. There's also ashadul, which is like this buttermilk thick soup, which, oh, fuck with it. You can also like drink it because it's like carbonated yogurt. And then there's Asha Anar, which is a pomegranate thick soup, which I actually enjoy that one. And like I said, the Adasi, which is the lentil soup. So that's like basically an overview of Iranian food. We have a bunch of different types of salads as well. The kuku, which I was talking about earlier, which is whipped eggs. It's like a little like pie. It's not rice, but it looks like rice, but it's like an herb pie. There's the kotlet, which is like mushed together ground beef, mashed potato, onion. You can add rice. You can honestly add whatever you want. There's dolme, which is stuffed peppers or vine leaves, which my dad makes them from the grapevines that he has a bunch of grapevines in his backyard. So my dad picks those leaves and makes his own dolme by stuffing the leaves.
Yeah. It's crazy because that in Syria, my grandpa would do that in his backyard.
It's so nice.
Because you call yours, because dolme is cold, right?
Yes.
Because our cold version of grape leaves is called yalunji. And it's the same thing. It's vegetarian for you? Is it vegetarian?
It can be and it can't be. It depends how you just make it.
Because
it's very open. But yes,
we have two types of grape leaves. The hot one is meat based and it's with lamb usually. And then it's called yabra. And then the cold one is with vegetarian. It's called yalunji. And yours is dolma.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah. There's some crossover for here.
All right, I'm going to really quickly go over some salad types. We have torshi, which is like a mixed pickle salad, which means it's a bunch of vegetables that have been pickled. Salad shirazi, which is chopped cucumbers, tomatoes, and onion with lemon juice. That's the most common one my parents make. Mastakhiyar, which is a strained yogurt with cucumber, garlic, and mint. Then there's just basic sabzi greens, which is just like fresh herbs and raw vegetables that people just eat by hand. It's just like free for all. Yeah, and then, you know, so, I mean, that's a little overview of Persian food. We drink a lot of tea. Mm-hmm. We drink cold yogurt as a drink called duh, don't ask, IDK. Yeah. It's just a thing. It's never been my thing.
And it's this Arab thing, too.
My dad loves it. I'm always like, go fuck yourself. I'm not having any. Yeah, and I think a few episodes back, I talked a little about Iranian desserts. So go back to that, yeah. Listen, because my time's up here. So I hope you enjoyed that. I'm losing my mind. I'm so hungry.
Something that you didn't mention that I'm obsessed with in Persian food is sumac. Sumac.
Yeah, that's it's more like desserty.
Oh, really?
Isn't it?
Because you put it on rice and stuff. I guess that's what...
Oh, you mean suma... Oh, I'm sorry. I literally was thinking about... Don't worry about it. Sumac, it's like it's a spice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm obsessed with it. So I don't know if you guys saw this video that I posted on EA's... I think I put it on both Twitter and Instagram. But there's a belly dancing video that I posted because I went to dinner with my family... basically, my sister's fiance is white. He's white, but his dad, we've never met him before. So my mom invited them out to a restaurant where they had belly dancing. And it was a Persian restaurant, actually, called Sufi in San Diego. And the main thing, as an Arab, the key signs of a Persian restaurant is the sumac on the table. Like, that's a key sign. Like, it's just like,
yeah, you put it on everything. Yeah, it's like a delicious spice that can go on rice, yeah, meat, like I literally
put it
anything
on everything. I love it so much. It's like, it has a sourness to it. It's mm-hmm. so good. Also, another like alert that it's a Persian restaurant is like if there's anything sweet in the rice, like raisins.
Yeah,
Arabs don't do that. Yeah,
they call it badabadis.
Yeah. So yeah,
yeah. That's
there's a lot of crossover with Arab food and Persian food, but there's also a lot of differences. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Syrian cuisine in particular. It's Syria, even though the borders were established in the 40s or the 60s rather, the borders are fairly new. It's actually a really ancient culture, and it's a diffusion. The cuisine has civilizations that have been settled in Syria during and after the Islamic era, beginning with the Arab Umayyad conquest, and the cuisines that are similar to it are Lebanese, Palestinian, Jordanian, and a little bit less Iraqi. But Thanksgiving is interesting for me because I think I've talked about this before, but like all your friends would go to like grandma's house and like in high school just be like a time where your family would gather together. But for the majority of my life, my parents were my only family here. And so it would just be like another dinner at home. And my mom eventually would like, she would make turkey for us, but it would also be like, it would be stuffed. Instead of stuffing, it would have like frike, which is like, frike with chicken is usually this, it's chicken served with wheat. Frike is like a word for like wheat in Arabic. And I think you've probably had it. It's like similar to the wheat, like in, like, it's like bulgur looking. And it has like a nutty bulgur taste. Bulgur, but bulgur wheat.
Oh, okay, type of wheat.
B. And so my mom would put that inside the turkey instead of stuffing. So I genuinely didn't even know what stuffing was. I had never had it until maybe like 4 years ago. I had no idea what it was. And then we had it 1 year. My mom like bought like a Costco version of it like a couple years ago because she's like wanted to try it for Thanksgiving. And it wasn't bad. It was actually really good. I was like, oh, this is stuffing. But every year for Thanksgiving, it would just be like a very small dinner with my family and I. Always there's hummus. Like, we don't eat turkey with, like, a fork and a knife. We eat it with pita bread, hummus, and, like, that's about it. There's always, like, mashed potatoes and corn, but that was more for, like, me and my sister because we love corn. But
y'all,
now that
y'all
my...
Y'all corny.
Yeah, we're corny as fuck. And now that I have a couple more uncles here, my uncles have been here for a while. I have one uncle that's going to be there tomorrow for Thanksgiving with his family, and... I think that's about it for tomorrow. And then we're trying to get my other uncle down from Northern California, but he just works all the time. He literally works on a mozzarella farm, so he works all the time.
A mozzarella farm?
Yeah, he makes mozzarella.
What's mozzarella?
Cheese.
Oh, mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
I thought for some reason, okay, I thought you were talking about a car, like a mozzarella, like a Maserati, and that's now I'm starting to realize I'm losing my mind.
No, I'm the one that can't say cheese.
I was like, oh, mozzarella.
I mean, this episode really just highlights how good we are at speaking English.
A accompaniment. And mozzarella.
No, actually, I was even wrong. It's not mozzarella, it's burrata.
Oh, ooh, burrata's so good.
Yeah, he makes burrata. It's a type of mozzarella, apparently.
It's a type of car.
It's a type of car. But so we're trying to get more family here for the holidays. But usually it was like a very intimate thing just for, like, with my immediate family. And so I was always like low-key jealous of, like,
all your sisters going
to
be there?
No, my older sister's working. Wow. She's a doctor and she has better things to do. Because she got Christmas off because she's going to go to have her very first Christmas with her fiance in Indiana. So she had that reserved, so she couldn't get Thanksgiving off. But my younger sister and I, after we record this, I'm going to go carpool with her to San Diego. But yeah, Syrian cuisine, I mean, my mom's cooking for me was like my favorite thing in the world growing up. And like, I never really understood how unique it was to Syria until I got older. Like, I thought it was just like Arab food, but really Syrian food is very particular. Like, I don't know, I've talked about this many times, but like Syrian breakfast, for example, is very particular to the country of Syria. If you look up Syrian breakfast, there's a bunch of small plates, and it's very family style, and there's like a plate of jam from an apricot called mushmush, and then there's like yogurt or hummus, and then there's usually like a fava bean dish called ful, because ful means bean in Arabic. And there's like pickled vegetables and sometimes there's a dish with hummus or like garbanzo beans rather, and called what's it called? Whatever. It's called something that's really good. My mom is gonna get mad at me that I forgot. But there's a lot of really good things, and those are Syria is so rich in food, and it's a really big part of that. And so I think when I became vegan, my mom was like especially hurt because food is a huge part of our culture. But the majority of the foods I like are just lentil based, which is like poor people food basically now. It's like the peasant food because everything's with lentils. which I don't really mind. But so some Syrian dishes are things like gibbeh. Gibbeh is basically a wheat ball, like a dumpling, and it has meat inside. Meat and usually pine nuts. So that's gibbeh, and during Ramadan, the main thing my dad loves is like my mom's lentil soup is just the best thing I've ever had in my life. And so it was like lentil soup, and you dip the gibbeh in it or just eat it by itself. And for Ramadan, usually like you break your fast with a date, and then immediately in our family we eat lentil soup. So lentil soup is a huge part of lentils in general are a huge part of that, yeah, especially the vegetarian.
Lentils huge in the Mid East.
I feel like being vegetarian is pretty easy in Middle Eastern cuisine because there's so many lentils and beans and really other protein-rich items that you can substitute. And I'll get more into some Syrian dishes after a quick commercial break. Okay, we're back with
food.
As I said, hummus is a huge part of Arab cuisine, and it's basically just mashed up chickpeas with different ratios of olive oil. Olive oil goes on top, but it's tahini, which is sesame seeds, lemon juice, and garlic. Don't even talk to me about this Americanized hummus that's going on with like whatever the fuck is in it.
I love Sabre.
Sorry. Sabre is Israeli. Like, fuck them. They're not. Hummus is not Israeli. I'm sorry. I talked about this on Culture Kings Pod when I was a guest last week, and I got a couple of tweets from this guy that was like, what do you mean there's no such thing as Israeli cuisine? Like, they've been around for centuries. And it's like, actually, no, you're confusing being Jewish with being Israeli. Those are not the same things. Israeli cuisine, I posted an article about it on Twitter about how Israeli cuisine, whatever that's called, is basically just Arab cuisine appropriated. And it's very true. But that's a different episode. Maybe I'll talk about that next time. But I think because food is such a big part of Arab culture, it's especially offensive when it gets appropriated because it's just like, what else do you want other than taking all of our land? So lebneh is yogurt, and it's like a savory yogurt that you eat with pita bread. Fattoush is a salad with toasted bits of pita bread in it. It's really good. Shawarma, it's like a, you know what shawarma is. Usually lamb or beef. Mjaddara is one of my favorite dishes. It's very, very simple. It's just like lentils and rice. It's usually lentils and wheat, but my mom makes it with rice for me because I like it better that way. It's like a poor person food. It's just a very simple lentil and rice dish, but I'm obsessed with it. Usually there's like fried onions on top. Also, similar to Persian cuisine, we have a lot of potatoes, a lot of red-based stews, tomato-based stews. When I was growing up, the reason I realized I didn't like meat is because my mom would make the stew all the time, and I would give all the beef chunks to my older sister, and she would give me all her potato chunks. So it just makes sense that I don't eat meat now. Like, it's not like I'm depriving myself, but
I could eat you.
Also, eggplant is a big part of our cuisine. There's this dish called matlube, which is very interesting. I want to talk about this for a little bit because my sister's fiance is like obsessed with it, and it's very. I didn't realize how unique it was until he was like, "Whoa!" So basically, what you do, you have a pot, and you put you fry eggplants on the like strips of eggplant on the bottom. You put ground beef and rice mixed with like either like sliced almonds or something, and you bake that. And then when it's done, you flip that pot on a plate. Oh, yeah. So it's like a mountain. And matlube literally means like flipped over in Arabic.
That's like a common Persian thing too, flip it over and have everything on.
And like I grew up with this dish, so I didn't realize how cool it was, but it really is pretty fucking cool. And so that's matlube. It's really cool. Eggplant's a huge part of that dish, and so is beef. There's also za'atar, which is an herb that we use. It's like, I guess it's like similar to oregano. It maybe even is oregano, but za'atar, zayt and za'atar means olive oil and this herb. And what you do, it's like a very traditional ancient snack, is to like dip pita bread in olive oil and then this herb and eat it like that. Zayt and za'atar.
That's what in Farsi it's zaytun is.
Zaytun is olive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So za'atar, zaytun. Yeah. I don't know.
No, za'atar is the herb. Zayt is oil. Zaytun is olive in Arabic.
So how would you say olive oil?
Zayt zaytun. Yeah.
Wow, trippy.
Yeah. But usually zayt is just like the standard oil and just means, it means oil, but like when you say zayt, it's like implied it's olive oil. Yeah. It's just like, there's like, that's the main one we got. Also, speaking of olive oil, huge part of Arabic cuisine. Usually it's on hummus or on anything. It's usually cooked into stuff. My mom would always make salads with lemon juice and olive oil, coated in it. Lemon is also a huge part of it. My mom, growing up, like would always have lemon on the sides of our food, and we'd like literally my mom and I just eat lemon like an orange. Like, it's kind of weird, but I've accepted that I just love lemon now, and like my garlic, like it's just like we eat it like that.
Yeah, that's the way we are with just raw onion.
That's weird.
Yeah, Iranians just eat raw onion.
My mom would tell me that people are like that, but I'm just my personal thing. I don't like onion, like because like it can be like a mile away, and someone could be cutting it, and I can still be crying. Mm. Like, I'm so sensitive to onion, especially raw onion. Like, I can literally
eat it like an apple.
I cannot. I would. My eyes are so sensitive to it. I don't know what it is. Like, my nose hurts. Yeah. Everything about me. Like, literally, if someone is like in the next room, I would know.
That's wild.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Can you eat if it's cooked with it though, but not in it?
I don't mind eating cooked onion, but there's something about, like, that's why I never buy onions or use them in any things that I make personally, because I just cannot cut them for the life of me. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I usually, if I do want onion, I buy it already chopped.
Interesting. Okay. Like, so you don't have to do any, like, actual touching or work with the onion.
I don't know what it is. This is, like, very unique to me, because onion is a huge part.
Sensitive to
onion is a huge part of Arabic cuisine, so it's like...
Yeah, Persian, too. Like, literally, you just eat onion.
Yeah, that's crazy. Also, I think I talked about this a little bit last time. Was it on this podcast? Did I talk about kake?
I don't remember.
Kake is like a Syrian cookie, essentially. And we also, like Persians, we drink a lot of fucking tea. Like, multiple times a day, tea all the time. Mm. When I was in Syria, my happiest breakfast was kake and shai, which just means like this Syrian cookie dipped into shai. Or tea, and you just eat it, and it like soaks up, and it's so fucking good. There's also like bread is a huge part of Arabic cuisine as well, similar to Persian cuisine. Pita bread obviously is a huge part of it because it's like basically a utensil. Like if there's no rice involved, we're using a pita bread. Like we're using pita bread as right. a utensil. Like we scoop up everything with pita bread. Very family style, very like group based. That's why I think it's really fun to eat Middle Eastern food with a group because it's meant to be that way. There's also samune. It's like a type of bread, like the most like American way I can think of it. It's like the Aladdin bread. Like it's like the baked bread that looks like a loaf.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But it's not super filled, right?
No. It's just the bread itself. Yeah. Like I would be obsessed with that growing up. But so my grandfather every morning in Syria, he would like walk to the store and get fresh baked samune.
It's my favorite thing.
It's my favorite thing in the world.
To get fresh bread is insane.
It's like a huge part of life, man. Like if I could live in a bread oven,
to walk down
I
the
would.
Street to the bakery and the bread oven and just wake come back. Yeah. Like my aunt would always do that, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it just like brings me back immediately to Syria. And I don't know. Oh my God, I just love it so much. There's also like, speaking of, I remember very distinctly, like my grandfather always like go to the Jewish quarter and get bread from the Jewish district, or he would go to the Christian district and get some cheese. Like everything was so inclusive, and it still is for the most part in Syria, but like, I don't know, we all get along and there's no distinct line there. And I just really remember like my grandfather teaching me about that, like mm-hmm. When I was growing up, like, oh, I'm just gonna go get some stuff from my friend in the store, and like everything, and everything is very, I don't know, neighborhoody. And another thing that you always see walking around in Syria is corn stands, where they just sell boiled corn. It kind of reminds me when I see in LA like Mexican stands with like elote. They like put like cheese or like spices on the corn. But in Syria you're just like, it's called ditta when they in like the street words and this whatever. So you hear like people shout, like the corn people, like the corn sellers saying like ditta ditta ditta, like all over the streets. And then you boil corn, you eat it, and it's the fucking best thing ever. And it's not like American corn, it's like this white delicious corn. I cannot find it here. It's like a huge thing in my family, like
white corn.
No, but it's like, it tastes different over there. Like the first thing we eat when we go there, there's so many pictures of us when we land in Syria just eating corn.
Yeah,
like it's pretty stupid. But I'm obsessed with corn. And then also nuts. There's huge places that just have nut stands in Syria. That's why when I went to New York and seeing like nut stands all over like New York City, this really reminded me of Syria, because the same thing happens in Damascus especially. Yeah. It's just like all kinds of almonds and pistachios and cashews and walnuts. They're huge parts of Arabic cuisine. Like Muhammada is a dip that's made with literally just pomegranate and walnuts and red peppers, and you mix that up and that's your fucking dip, and it's so good. There's all nuts and a lot of things. That's why I think it's also easy, as I said, to not eat meat, because whether it's beans or something, there's also nuts and everything. So you can get protein from something.
Always nuts, dude. Yeah. If they're not putting nuts in something,
then it's not fucking anything. Real.
Yeah.
Also, cheese is a big part of us, our cuisine. You eat it with bread, or like it's for breakfast. Usually there's like this like white cheese that you eat. You boil it and you put black sesame seeds on it. It's like very particular to Syria. A lot of desserts use dates and pistachios as well. Baklava and ma'amoul is like a cookie that's filled with date paste. It's really delicious. And as I said before, yabra is the grape leaves that are hot and is stuffed with rice and minced meat, usually lamb, served hot. And then the cold version of that is usually a little bit fatter grape leaves, and they're stuffed with rice only and herbs, and that's served cold.
Yummy.
Yeah, it's really good. I guess that even though I don't eat kebab anymore, kebab is a huge part of Syrian cuisine, and so similar to Persian cuisine, there's like different kinds of kebab. There's so many kinds of kebab. Like shish tavuk is this the chicken kebab with like chunks of chicken. Then there's kebab kefta or kefta kebab, which is the ground beef kebab. And then shish kebab is usually the one that has chunks of beef in it by itself. There's a lot of things like, so halabi means from Aleppo. Halab in Arabic is Aleppo. So sometimes things will be called like kibbeh halabi or kebab halabi. And that just means this kebab or this dish is from Aleppo. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times when you see like in an Arab restaurant, if it has like the same thing over and over, it usually just means it's from that region. But a lot of ingredients are very the common ingredients that are like in a lot of cuisine are bay leaves, cardamom.
Cardamom, man.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Olive oil. Almonds, pine nuts, falafel. Oh, how to fare falafel, of course. Me and my family are very picky about Middle Eastern food because we've had it so good our whole life. But falafel is just mashed chickpeas. Very simple, you eat it with tahini, with hummus, with sometimes with sumac as well. There's so many kinds of Arab food. I could just go on forever. But what else should I just like bring up before going away? Maybe the coffee. We're huge on coffee. It's like very similar to Turkish coffee where it's like very thick and the grounds are still in it, so you have to sip it really. Like,
do you read your cup afterward?
Some of my aunts do that, yeah. Because we're like superstitious fuck. But
my aunt always goes, there's money coming for you. Which I'm like, you've always say that.
Just like, I don't believe you.
Okay, honey, let me know.
But yeah, there's the same ingredients come up all the time, whether it's like eggplant or zucchini or lemons and stuff, and honey is a huge part of the culture as well, because that's usually what we sweeten things with, whether it's baklava or there's this what's it called? It's called, it's not, it's like a different kind. Oh, atar, like atar. I don't know how you say it in English, but it's like this like sweet syrupy thing that's on a lot of baklava or like a lot of like, it's like a dip. Oh, for I know a lot what of you things.
Mean. I yeah. don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is in English. That's the problem. Like, so many things are in my head as just Arabic.
Yeah,
I cannot translate it.
Actually, going on to Wikipedia and looking at the Iranian cuisine, I recommend going look at it. It's where I pulled a lot of my information. But I needed it because I knew I could not translate anything without a guide to be like, oh, that's...
No, same here.
Because I'm just so used to hearing it. It's not like my parents ever say it in English.
No, exactly.
We just say it in Farsi and then we don't think about it ever
again. I didn't even know that za'atar was an herb here. Like, I didn't know it was literally oregano. Like, but I didn't know that. It's just za'atar. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I would strongly recommend... looking up just images, image charts, like Syrian food, Persian food. It's so beautiful, and I just love it so much. And it's a huge part of that culture. Every culture is like food is this the gathering thing, and I think that's the main thing that I take away from Thanksgiving. Like, I really try to ignore what it's based from. Like, it's really not about the Indians and the fucking colonizers like coming together and being a family, because that's not what happened. For me, it's just an excuse to have good dinner with my family, and I hope you guys all had really good dinners with your families or your chosen families. And I don't know. Bonding over food is like the culture's main fucking thing. Every culture, you bond over food.
And I hope you're all as hungry as we are.
Yeah, right, I'm starving.
Yeah.
But speaking of, because I've been vegan for a while now, so my family is used to me, but I have a vegan pumpkin pie that I'm bringing home this time.
Bitch. I'm so hungry.
So I'm very excited.
It's the Earth Cafe one?
Yeah.
Nice.
And so it was recommended to me by someone, so I had to get it. So I've never had it before, but I'm very excited. That's the other thing. I think becoming vegan, it was almost like a personal insult to my family in the beginning, because they were just like, wait, you're not going to eat this food that we love together? But I do it for me, you know? Like, I feel bad. Everyone should eat what makes them feel good. And you can still have dinner and eat great things with your family if you don't eat the same things they do. There's always alterations you can make. My mom now is very supportive of me and, like, like, won't put chicken broth in something if I'm coming home or something like that. So, like, if your family, they'll come around if you, like, change your diet or, like, don't want to eat meat or trying to be healthy or whatever, I think. It's very much molded. And also the Mediterranean diet, whether it's Persian or Arab, like, it's very fucking healthy. Like, when you really think about it, everything is very olive oil based. Everything is very rich. And the fats are very good fats. And yeah, I just love Arabic food. And I'm just so excited to go home and eat my mom's fucking cooking. If you want to come?
I kind of do, to be honest.
Come with me!
I just eat your food.
Girl, I'm going to show you a photo. So, also... Anna and I, thank you for Roustine for coming to the Arab Spring Break comedy show. We had a really fun time.
Roustine.
We had a really, really, really fun time.
That's for you.
I had a blast. But the reason, so my mom made this giant Syrian meal that day, but I had to miss it because I had to go to the show. But I want to show Anna a photo and then she can react to it.
I can't do this anymore, you guys.
Look at it.
I'm so fucking hungry and you're fucking me up. I want Middle Eastern food so bad that I might drive all the way to Westwood after this to go to Flame.
Oh, wow.
Because I want it so bad. It's crazy because I haven't gone home in a long time. Also on keto, it's like a lot of Persian food is just carbs. So you can't like rice.
There is a lot of bread. Like, that's one thing bread. About Arabic food too, is that there's a lot of carb stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I was just looking at this photo and I forgot to mention we have fatayid, which is like... pastries, like savory pastries filled with either spinach, meat, or cheese.
You're fucking
then there's
up.
Sfiha, which is like a meat pizza, essentially like a mini like flatbread looking thing with meat on top and tomatoes. There are so many different variations of fucking delicious food. I love it so much. But I'm just, yeah, Thanksgiving is just an excuse to be together as a family and eat, and or your chosen family rather. So yeah. And also every time we eat, we have tea or coffee after, which is also a huge part.
I know that is
yeah.
My favorite thing is to like chill out with a glass of tea and just fucking
unbutton your pants.
Yeah,
not that I would ever wear buttons to my parents' house. Who am I kidding?
I'm just excited to like eat tomorrow, have some pumpkin pie, and like have some tea and yeah. Also, something that I want, like, chai means tea, so sometimes when I see like the word like
chai
tea, it's just tea.
Yeah, it's chai. That's how we say it. Chai.
Hard I.
Yeah.
Iraqis say chai, but we say shy with the S-H.
And we say chai. Interesting.
It's interesting.
Chai, shy, and chai.
Yeah.
It's all just the same spelling.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's funny.
But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that delicious walk down.
Guys, I'm so fucked up right now. Like, I'm so fucked up. When Shireen was talking, I was just drooling. Oh, fuck.
There's so many more things, too. Maybe we can get into more detail at another time. I didn't even talk about all the rice dishes. Like, riz is everywhere. Yeah.
I need to leave.
I've been spoiled, though. My mom is a really good chef. But
yeah, my dad as well. It's just like I've had the best kofta in town. It's wild. My parents' food, even when I go to Iran, like, my family's food is fucking
so
insane.
Fucking good. That's why when someone has bad hummus or falafel, because it's, like, Americanized, I'm just like, you have not had real food. Yeah. Like, when they're like, I don't like hummus. Well, like, you haven't really had hummus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like this. It's just like, you're having, like, the bastardized version of it. You know what I mean? Like,
guys, are you guys as hungry as I am?
I'm really hungry.
Oh, you guys, don't you understand? I'm so hungry.
All right, well, I'm starting to become delirious. I can't really... think of it. I just see images.
Well, where can they find us?
Twitter at ethnically amb, amb, Instagram ethnically ambig, ambig, our website ethnicallyambiguouspod.com. Go buy our merch. There's sales happening. Cyber Monday, we have two new designs, which was the magic lamp, which I think we referenced that last time. There's this new, the have a nice day one that we like and love and all that good stuff. And there's more stuff coming. We're constantly coming up with ideas, you know?
Yeah. And I just remembered a fresh mention, tabbouleh. Tabbouleh is a huge salad that we always eat. It has parsley and bulgur and great stuff and tomatoes. And also, another thing that you should do is listen to our episode that comes out in 2 days on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's me talking to Charlene de Guzman. She's yes. really amazing. And we're going to be doing these guest episodes more often. Just more content for y'all. So listen to that on Wednesday. And we'll be posting about it, too. So don't miss it.
Yes. You can follow me on Twitter at Anna Hosnier. Shereen?
You can follow me on Twitter at Shereen Y, SHERENWHY. And on Instagram, I'm Shiro Hero, SHEEROHERO.
Mm-hmm. Did you get by that ass?